gentlemen, welcome back to The Curse of Strahd on PC85 Plays on the Podzilla 1985 Network. I am Cody Sandusky, your game master for tonight's session. Sounds like there's an army, sounds like there's a battle of brewing, and sounds like there's a hill that these guys are going to have to run to. So let's see if they've made a deal with God. Starting first, playing as Bjorn the Blood Hunter over on the left coast, it is Kaz.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to die.
Pretty sure we're all going to die someday. Maybe we'll speedrun it. Standing above me in our grid of, I was going to say Family Feud, but no, it's Brady Bunch. Well, I've already ruined my bit. He's Double H. He's playing Rasmus Thomason, our Golden Retriever half-elf cleric.
Cody, do you think God stays in heaven because he too lives in fear of what he has created?
I mean, I live in fear of this session every Tuesday night, so probably. I wish I could live away from it in fear of that. Lindsay Wolfgang's playing our resident air genasi, and it is Zephra, the Blue Wonder herself.
Well, hey, I'm here.
And sir, not appearing in this podcast because, well, spoiler alert, we don't want his character to die too soon because that just wouldn't be fun. It's the Commandant of PZ 1985, Shannon Young, who will not be responding. Great, he listened. I like that. Okay. So, again, when last these characters found themselves together just a couple of weeks ago, at least in our real world, they were standing in the Wizard of Wines witnessing the family feud that was between Erwin Mardukov and Davian Mardukov, the son and patriarch of the family, respectively. The three gems that allowed the Wizard of Wines to be a prosperous and fruitful vineyard had been taken. Most recently, the third gem in the last couple of days by Druids and those on Yester Hill. And the reason Yester Hill and Berez have become such focal points may soon be discovered as the last session ended with Adrian flying in and saying something about an army being developed. So for the three of you that are here, do you have any questions? I know it's been a couple weeks. Any concerns before we jump into things?
Nope. I'm good to go.
Okay.
Thumbs up.
It's turbo time.
Turbo time. Cody, has this ever happened to you?
Yes, several times. Several times.
All right. I thought you were going to flip it into a Simpsons bit and go, yes, once.
Once. I thought about it, but it's more fun this way for me, at least. So, bringing us back into the environs in which we were last found, Adrian again came through the double doors, if you are looking at Roll 20. On that right side of this fermentation or storage room, and came up to the party, including Erwin and Davian, and out of breath, looking beleaguered, a bit wounded, at least a little worse for wear, just started getting out kind of through deep breaths. An army is being developed. They're preparing for something.
The one just outside, is that, I'm assuming, or... In general, in the region.
He looks at you. He's not... You can tell, like, briefly he's befuddled by the fact that there are people here he doesn't know, but that's irrelevant to him. Like, just everything. He's flying, like, a million miles an hour in his head. Not just here. And he kind of gestures to the west. Yester Hill. They're gathering on top of the mount. They're doing something. And Stefania and Claudio are there, too. The mention of those two things, you see, those two names at least, you see Davian, even in his anger, even in everything happened, his face falls a little bit and he kind of does a scrambled look around to find those people and seeing that they have not trailed Adrian into the room. You see his face become flush red with anger, but you could also see a concern in his eyes where he is... For the first time since you guys have met this grumpy old man, he is rendered without speech despite all the emotions. Like, you see in his face, he's angry, he's desperate, he is now very concerned, even more so than he was already, but he can't get the words out at this news.
Yeah, dead air.
Yeah, that's fine.
Are you ready to accept our help now?
Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm trying to remember kind of mentally where I was at this point, which I think was that we had more or less settled on a plan of attack, and he was kind of, for lack of a better term, poo-pooing all over it. So
I think at that point I was just telling him that you either do this or you die. So accept our help or die.
He looks at the three of you and says, if depending on what could be happening, and he kind of, this is Adrian speaking, by the way, Davian is still kind of lost in it. Depending on what could be happening, and depending on what is occurring on Yesterhill, I don't care who you are. We need all the help we can get.
Fair enough. We're here to help.
Yeah, Adrian. I'm not the kind of person to say I told you so, so I won't.
I am. I told you so.
Davian looks at you, Bjorn, with the heat of 1,000 suns behind his eyes, but he knows he has no retort. There's a lot going on right now, and he is still rendered speechless by all of it. This gentleman looks at you all quickly and just says, Adrian, leader of the Keeper of the Feather, you're here. I assume you probably know more than you should. Erwin's here, and he looks at his brother. That we will also address later. But brother, we're going to need your help too if we're going to make it out of this alive.
So should we, okay, at this point there's what, 5 of us total? No, 7.
In terms of able bodies, it's the 3 of you. Depending on what comes of Adrian, that's 4. Erwin and Muriel.
Yeah.
Irina.
Right.
If she's willing to go, which is something that I'm sure you might be exploring here shortly.
Well, the question to that end, too, then, is she safer here or with us?
If you broach that question, Adrian's going to look and say, no one who is unwilling to fight or risk their lives should take this journey.
Well, that's not a call I can make for her.
Yeah. Totally up to her, but I would wager these walls are only going to stand so long anyway, no? Like, I feel like we've kind of, like, crossed the Rubicon here.
She kind of looks imploringly at the three of you because she's been with you, and specifically to Zephyra and Rasmus because she's become the closest to you. She's terrified by this thought.
Of coming with us?
Everything.
Okay.
She looks at you and she says, not safe. Anywhere. I am not safe anywhere. And you see her kind of just stammer that a couple times as she, you know, standing generally in the room with you all, I would gesture she would be about there by the sliding door, but you see her kind of backpedal and in a moment press her back against the wall and just kind of slide down into a sit.
All right, I'm going to try to have a movie star moment here, and I have a feeling you're going to make me roll for it, but I want to try to, like, I guess it'd probably be persuasion related. You've obviously got to make that call, but I want to, like, basically grip her by the shoulders and go, you're safe with us.
Yeah, I mean, you nailed what you're going to need to roll. I'm going to need a persuasion roll there, bud.
All right. Grab one at random. Well, that's a 5, but I got a +5, so that's a 10.
Okay. She is, you can tell by this, just she's averting your gaze, like you're trying to square her up to look at her, but she is not convinced in that moment. You say that. You've been saying that this whole time. I left home for this. I left home to get away from him. And yet everywhere I've gone with you to this point, places I was told I would be safe have been nothing but danger and despair. What makes you think this is any different? He's saying there's an army.
I want to keep talking, but I feel like I'm probably not allowed. I would definitely say something to the effect, though, of the fact that she wasn't any safer at home. And in fact, it was her own brother who very much said that she wasn't safe there. But at this point, I'm going to start looking over my shoulder at Zephyr like, now you try.
I'm going to go over and put my hand on her shoulder and just very calmly say, all great tales have danger in them. You're just writing your own.
Ooh.
Same thing. Give me a persuasion check.
Okay.
Okay.
see if I can roll any better. Probably not. I got a 16.
Okay. You feel you've made a little more progress with her. She sits there silently for a second, but then looks up at you and says, I was never meaning to write a story. I was just trying to find
that you're writing. You're living.
Yeah, no one means to.
And at least you're living. And with us, you have a better chance of remaining that way.
At you saying that, she's
specifically... Bjorn's not exactly here for persuasion. He's just here to be like, buck up and let's row.
Yeah. To you, she specifically just laughs. She chuckles kind of morbidly at your saying that. Says, living. Yeah. You know, each place I've gone, you have found a way to find us out of there. So, sure. I'll live and be safe near you. Why not?
Works for me.
Sarcasm.
Bjorn kind of looks through it because it's like choices are being made. Their choices are being made. And I've already made mine and I'm ready to engage the group into this journey. If somebody doesn't want to come, take your chances here.
Davian, for the first time, kind of looks at all of you and says, bicker as you will. I will stay here. This is my home. Whether you save it or defend it, my hope is lost either way currently. He looks at the three of you, Irina again, still kind of slumped against the wall, and he scans you, and speaking to all of you, but staring directly at Erwin when he says it. The vineyard is priceless. What's more priceless is my daughter and grandson. Come back with them, or don't come back. If you die trying, there may be honor for you yet. But if they don't return, do not darken this doorway. Adrian looks at his dad, looks at all of you, and just quickly says, there is no time. There's no time to waste. Something is happening, and I fear for what it is. We must go.
So as we I'm assuming exiting this, the things with the shooty things, they only see so far, what are they called, the blights?
Yeah, needle blights.
Needle blights, those suckers. I'm assuming those are still outside in, you know, high numbers.
Yeah. Yeah, more than likely.
Okay. I want to just kind of like look out the window, just kind of see if there's, is it still daylight? Do we still have view, sight?
As we've been kind of approaching all of this, it was later, like afternoon into evening as you were doing all of it. So you have some light, but you're not well endowed with it at this point. Let's say it's not going to be too much longer before it starts going away and you're working in the night.
Well, that was part of the goal, as I recall.
Uh-huh.
Because they already don't see well.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we can move under the cover of night, we can maybe even have a better advantage.
Is that true with these? Or are they more like bats? Like where they just kind of like sense things within that distance?
Light or dark? I'm trying to remember because it's been a couple weeks, so forgive me. Go ahead and give me a nature. Did you? Okay, no, that was the part I was just needing some recollection on. You would know that it is still strictly night or day, doesn't matter. 60 feet is as far as it goes for them.
Yeah, that's right, because we were talking about using the night as cover, and then it was like, that doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
they can see the same distance either way.
Mm-hmm.
It's just gonna be suckier for us.
No, I think we all have dark vision, don't we?
Nope.
About to say, too, if you did, or about to say, oh, yeah, because, yeah, everyone's...
I think, I think I have dark vision.
I've got,
which, to be fair, works like night vision. So, I mean, I can see 60 feet dark vision, but I'm seeing in black and white. So.
Right.
Like a cat.
Meow.
Meow.
I think it's one of those where you could... Well, it, once night falls, then we could rely on you for kind of the more distant areas.
Yeah, but again, I'm also not stealthy. I mean, I'm wearing chainmail. That's I can take it off and leave it, but I'm going to lose a significant amount to my AC.
Ooh, I don't know if that's a good move.
Yeah.
Have to get a wheelbarrow and some blankets.
I lose 2 to my AC by unequipping my chainmail. So I go from a... No, I'm sorry. I lose 4.
That's
I was going to say, it seemed a little
don't
low.
Don't do that.
I go from an 18 to a 14.
Don't do that.
If you get caught without it, it'll be a problem. If you get caught with it, you'll be able to hold your own pretty well.
Yeah. But I basically, as an out-of-game discussion here, I have disadvantage on stealth checks. So it's not just like I don't have a good stealth bonus. I have to roll twice and take the lower number. Yeah. So I have double the chance of getting a really bad roll.
If it helps, you get the impression as Adrian is like talking and briefly trying to clean himself up, or at least kind of get a couple of the surface wounds patched up before he gets ready to lead you all again. Stealth is not what he's concerned about. At this point, it is reckless abandon to get to Yesterhill, because he deems whatever is happening is that important.
Speed.
He mentions just as he's kind of tidying himself and getting prepared, because those names came up. He looks at the three of you because Erwin knows. Stefania, our sister. She is the second oldest of us. Claudio.
How far away?
Oh, good. He'll say Claudio is her son. They flew with me to Yesterhill to find out what was going on. They were lost in the process. Unfortunately, one against many is not a battle I nor most can win. Hence why I've come back here, scarred and desperate for any reinforcements.
I don't know that I remember the layout of this place specifically, but how difficult would it be? Because they have a working stables, right? They have horses and they have carts. How difficult would it be to get from where we are to one of those?
To get a horse?
No, to get a cart and a couple of horses and then drive that thing out of there at high speed.
You asked that, and Davian, Adrian both looked and say, the horses aren't great. And we may be a challenge. I'm going to illuminate for you guys where it's at, just because he's generally going to gesture to it.
Okay. Oh, so it's connected to the building, so we could actually...
Yeah.
We don't even have to go outside.
Yeah. Oh, shit, yeah. You could always put your armor in there. Well, no, I guess the stealth doesn't matter at this point. We're ready to just rock and roll.
If we're doing that, yeah, it doesn't...
Well, and also at that point, mechanically, what's it? An hour to put on armor and take off? Or it's at least it's a time penalty of some sort.
Yeah, I don't think it's a full hour.
No,
but...
it may be shorter than that, but...
I feel like we're staring at a Red Dead Moonshine run here. Just fucking go.
That's kind of what I'm thinking, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Donning chainmail takes 4 minutes.
I thought I was going to say 10. I thought I was assuming way too high with an hour. But
Taking it off takes 1 minute.
Wow. Okay. So that's actually a lot shorter than I thought. So, I mean, theoretically, well, like you said, if you're not going to stealth, then that doesn't mechanically matter too much. But
yeah. I would say it would probably be better if we're like getting up on this thing for you to be out front with some of us in the back. Like if you with the armor, you're just kind of like juggernauting forward, and it's probably already better for you to be leading the horses, perhaps.
Oh yeah, I would say, I mean, between me and one of the the avians, like kind of directing, even if they're just telling me where to go, because I could be out there a little more exposed, and if they can take the reins, I mean, I've got a crossbow that I can use to provide cover fire.
Same for the back. I can toss down some bolts. And then if, let's see here. Oh, I forget. Lindsay, what's your character's name? Sorry. Sephora.
Sephora.
Zephra, you have like the lightning stuff that you can, like, if we're coming out of here in a hellfire blazing glory, like, I'm talking bolts and whatever else ranged we can throw at them.
I mean, I'm trying to think which ones would possibly work that wouldn't immediately hit everybody else, because a lot of them extend from me and anyone in my way gets it.
So we put you at the back of the cart.
Yeah.
You fire out the back of it.
Yeah. I mean,
you put the cannon where there's open space. Like, that's my thought. Yeah. Like,
but it's not a cone of operation, though. Is it circular? So that means even inside the cart, we get hot.
Checking on them, yeah. Because my main one, that's the biggest thing, is that it's like a cube from me.
Well, if worse comes to worse, I could also just give you my crossbow.
I mean, I have a crossbow also.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind. Then you could use your crossbow. I didn't know.
I would like. It would be, wait, so the sleepy one, that one is in the cube. But didn't we define that cube can be in front of you, or is it a cube from when you're in the center out?
The sleep one, I can pick a specific point, and it is a 20-foot sphere, basically, for that one.
So that's a ranged one we can.
But that also depends on how many hit points everybody has, because the only way they go to sleep is if they take all their hit points.
Yeah.
So you might get one of them.
Yeah.
Which is one more.
That's one more. Yeah.
Making me sleep.
Well, we can make it. I think we can make it happen.
I think we're going to have to try.
Yeah. We got to go either way. So
I'm down. So there'll be three of us with crossbows with the bonus of a potential sleepiness. And then the avians, how many of those are going to be with us? Two?
You have currently Adrian, Muriel, and Erwin committed.
Could they fly from above, like dropping buckets and whatnot?
At this point, like, as you guys game plan this, behind you, Adrian has sent the two boys, the two teenagers, like the preteen teenager, to go saddle some stuff up or at least get the wagon ready. Going outside, as you can see, is going to require, like, going to the stable is going to involve actually going outside, so that's likely not a task he's going to have them undertake. But he sends them off to prepare that, and he looks at you and says, I care not what is here. Dismantling the defenses here is secondary. Getting out is primary.
Yeah, I don't care about the defenses. I'm just looking for what our best offensive measures are. And if having some airborne offense is possible, I would like to tee that up.
Well, by counts, he'll look at you, and Erwin will chime in for the first time in a little bit to acknowledge, if we get through to the end of the property and the other wagon is still there, one of us, and he gestures to like the three were-ravens, can dismount and take that with us. If it's a rescue mission, we likely need more space.
More space. Yeah.
Definitely.
This might be another... We might have to roll again for this. What do we know in terms of needle blights and like ranged attacks? Are they even capable of?
They got
do they just kind of slam themselves into each other, or because they didn't actually attack us? Do they?
Yeah. Because remember, whenever I shot a bolt over to the barn when I was trying
to
distract them
in that direction.
They shot these like dart things, right, Cody? Okay. Or am I?
Yes. You would know because again, the nature check. They have a ranged attack of needles.
Yeah.
Okay.
But their vision is only 40 feet. In the air would be problematic. But like the further away, the more stormtroopery it gets.
Yeah. The two means of attack they have are claws in melee range and needles from their vision range, as Cass just noted. They can only shoot as far as they can see.
Yeah. I mean, theoretically,
the avians can fly higher than that. I mean, 40 feet, I would be shocked if they couldn't fly higher than 40 feet and then just stay out of range and probably even attack farther than that range if they had the proper weaponry.
Exactly.
Kind of makes me wonder why they don't just have crossbows and just fly up 50 feet. Just...
I think that's
hard to fly and shoot at the same time.
Is it?
No. I don't believe that.
Eric Kokra's do it.
Yeah.
I'm saying mechanically, I don't know if that's the case.
I think they have hands and feet and wings.
Yeah, I mean, so. they would have to be in their hybrid form as it is, because I mean they can transform into just straight up. Okay.
There it is. Yeah. So they have the means
to do it mechanically, but it's whether or not they're in that form to do it.
And they don't want to be seen that way all the time. And
right again, okay. You
survival
all,
or pride.
Erwin has acknowledged, and I think we've talked about the past, it's you all both, are a though. Very rare exception that.
Yeah.
And the whole other problem, if this all gets resolved, is the fact that you know we that were ravens exist.
Yeah, because it's not just a pride thing. Like, that's something that they've been, as I recall, persecuted for. So they can be killed just for being they are.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so let's do this. Me and, is it Adrian?
Yeah, Adrian.
Put him up front. He's the one who came from there, so he knows the way. We'll take the reins. We'll put everyone else in the back. Anyone who's got weaponry strategically placed such that they can fire that weaponry out the back. And then do the thing.
I'll note specifically, because it will play mechanically into this, if you look at that wagon, there is no top on it.
Oh, so, okay. So basically they can fire from wherever.
Yeah.
Does it have, it looks like it has like what, low cover, like half cover?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, like half cover is what it's going to be. Okay. So basically you're basically playing Gears of War in this brief scenario is that you're going to be able to duck under and then cover pop shooter. Off and fire. Yeah.
Yeah. Do we have mechanics for blind firing? The most useless fucking thing in Gears of War. That used to irritate the shit out of me. I take that back. The only time it was ever good was at a super high difficulty, and you could blind fire while somebody else moved up and then did all the work.
But how we beat Gears of War 2. A lot of that.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. I'm ready. I'm proud to be a part of this plan. Let's do it.
Sweet.
Rasmus said it's Midler time.
Wait, where's the second one of these things? I think I missed that a while ago.
We have to get it when we get out.
Oh, it's out there.
It's the one that we rode in on. Yeah,
totally cool. Okay.
They're going to fuck us and the horses we rode in on.
Mm. The one benefit you have, but both Erwin acknowledging and I also acknowledge it openly, if that is still there on the other side and you do retrieve it, that is covered, which may help you in terms of literally doing anything in the second part.
Yeah, get
and
over
if
there.
If nothing else, getting the people back and having something to keep them secured in that isn't just an open wagon.
Right.
I feel like we're going to get over there and there's going to be needle blights in there joyriding, doing donuts and the thing.
It's like the world's shittiest Kia Soul commercial parody. Just needle blights, ghost riding the whip.
Okay.
Boy, when was the last time you heard about ghost riding the whip? Oh, man. That's a good one.
Yep, 2011 called.
He brought it back.
I did. I brought it back. Okay.
So, I'm ready to start killing some needle blights myself.
That's fine. You all start, if you wish, exit toward that hallway.
Wait a minute. Question. Mm-hmm. How many horses are we starting with?
Dos.
Two. Yep. They're in the stables beside the wagon there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, dear. Okay.
What, you plan on kidnapping one of these bad boys?
No. Two horses are powerful, but that's also two horse brains and two horses potential for freaking out that freaks out the other one.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. You're worried about that part. Okay, good. You should be.
I just changed Bob's name in the group chat to Two Horse Brains.
I was hoping you're laughing at certain things.
I also changed a little bit ago. I quietly changed Cody's name to Bonus of Potential Sleepiness.
I will have it as soon as the session is done. I promise.
Potential sleepiness. I've got it right now.
Uh huh. Okay.
It's horsey time.
So Adrian, as the final particulars of this plan were developed, Adrian ran out the back as he's trying to, again, stealthily get two horses saddled up to a wagon while being in open sight. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Erwin is going to kind of gather toward you three and say, okay, I owe you a debt of gratitude. It wasn't Erasmus. you specifically. I hope you mind not adding to my debts, if we so make it out.
I'm gonna give him the Predator handshake, the Carl Weathers and Schwarzenegger handshake, and just say, if we can both come out of this neither in the red nor the black, then we're in good shape.
He gives his pronounced a smile, which isn't much of one, but he gives enough of one. You can see yeah. There's heavy concern, but he appreciates it. Davian just calls out quickly as Erwin starts making it, kind of tailing you, Rasmus. He bellows it, Erwin! Remember my words. Do not return without them. Without them, you don't exist.
I lean into Erwin. I'm like, might not it be anything to return back to, so, you know.
Thought my family was bad.
Bjorn, as you say that, you feel something come up beside you. Irina says, yep, nothing to return to here or anywhere. Let's go.
Oh, God, I wish it wasn't that way for her, but she's still making the right choice.
Okay.
Not always about how you get there as much as it is what happens in the end.
So
it's about the friends you make along the way.
Yeah, something like that. So, picture aside, we're going to imagine just for room's sake as if the barrels have been removed from the wagon, because I don't want to deal with all that. There's room in there for the three of you and Irina, or at least three of you and Irina, rather. One of you, if you stick with the plan and be Rasmus, sits up front with Erwin. And Adrian and Muriel will fly overhead to try to at least see that the wagon is secure on the other side, and if not, what they can find to get into it before you guys start making your way to Yesterhill.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Do it.
All right. You saddle up and everything is ready. The horses are surprisingly calm. Adrian rolled very well and looks at you and says, she's not much. But come hell or high water, she'll get us through.
Oh, you had the perfect opportunity to say she's not much, but she's got it where it counts.
And well,
that's what I just knew it was coming, man. I was waiting for it.
That's wait, yet to be seen. I want to deliver a great line. See this thing. I'm scrolling two rolls
deep.
And then
we break an axle halfway down the road.
Right.
The horses' names are Millennium and Falcon.
Aluminum. Okay, so we're going to play this as a relative quick and dirty skill challenge. It's not going to be like mechanically as it has been. Essentially, as you travel through, and I guess I should reverse my arrow there because you are going in the opposite direction now. Oh, my arrow drawing is stuck there. Then hell with it. But we're going to run this situation as if you guys are just sprinting through. Map directions be damned. You came from
Mad Dash.
I watched,
you came from this area in the north because the arrow is pointing toward the winery itself. So your goal is to follow this path and get out to the north in terms of directions here.
Yeah.
I watched that Edge of Tomorrow last night, and I feel like this is that scene where they look up at the airplane and they're like, we'll just turn it into a boat. And they just take it out across this open area that's not really open.
Right. I haven't seen Edge of Tomorrow in a while. Nice.
I always just think about that part where Tom Cruise was on the guns, and then they hit the water, and by some miracle, he's holding onto it with one hand as he's ragdolling at 150 mile an hour, I guess it is. Suspend the belief, which is what we need to do here. We need to suspend belief so we can get through this field of grapes and whatnot.
Well, yeah, whatever's left of grapes, that is, yeah. Okay.
Raisins. Rotted fruit. Yes, it's raisins now. It's a raisin farm.
All right. What I need for you three to do, and I will do the same for both the Were Ravens and for the Blights. Go ahead and just give me a quick initiative roll, What we're probably going to do is just go in a order where whomever of you goes first, and we'll kind of go from there. It's not going to be like a traditional one because it's not technically like a full combat.
50 years old.
I gotta remember what my initiative bonus is.
Nine.
I got a 5.
Great start. This is off to a wonderful start.
I got an 11.
15.
Okay. Well, if it makes you feel better, Bjorn, you and the birds will go first, and the blights will go last.
I like it when blights go last. They kill us far more slowly.
Yeah. So, because stealth is not being done at this point, you...
Fuck stealth.
Cinematically, doors are have already been kind of thrown open because the horses are hitched to the wagon, and you guys burst out of there. Again, Shannon would probably appreciate the reference to the beginning of Castlevania Rondo of Blood. The wagon is going full tilt, and Richter's running this thing.
I feel like there's a Western that that has a scene like this where they just blast out of it. Wasn't that something Young Guns where they were just in a
stagecoach is going?
Stagecoach.
It's been so long. I'm willing to take your word for it, but it's been a long time since I've seen Young Guns.
I was just going to say yes, several, because I feel like that happens in many a Western. But yeah.
There's a bit in 310 to Yuma that's like that, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And
it always turns out well for the protagonists. So we got this.
Mm-hmm.
He's using arguably entertaining logic to make it sure that we win.
He sure is. Well,
that's the only reason I won a single category against Cody.
This is a plot point. We got this.
All right, Bjorn, let's play dice rolls where your confidence is. Give me your first attack roll.
Fuck yeah, here it comes. Watch this happen. Fuck. 14.
Okay, 14, it defeats the armor class of that. So go ahead and give me a hit.
Stupid sticks coming at him. Boom.
Okay.
7 piercing damage. I pierced them. I penetrated the stick peoples.
Well, please don't change that name, Hunter.
No, I'm going to let that one go by.
But stick people penetrator isn't a good enough name for our group chats. Bjorn, that crossbow, clean, quick. You pop up from behind that wagon, you fire it off, and you see probably to your left, orientation be damned, I'll kind of make it up as we go. You pop up and you see a needle blight catch it and just fly back about 10 feet.
Ooh, yeah.
So that situation is done. Going from that roll. Oh, go ahead.
That's that one moment where I feel good confidence. I look over at Rasmus and I just like nod at him. Like, yeah.
Man, I'm driving a wagon. I can't look back at you. I gotta watch the road.
But that's the thing. He's not looking at me. I'm just looking at the back of his head, just nodding at it.
It's like, yeah, you know what I did.
Yeah.
He'll be proud of me later.
He's
got it.
I'll just say to him, you remember when I was doing this at that time?
Okay.
It's so like Mac and his dad.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Okay. On that lovely note, Muriel, she's allowed Adrian. Adrian's the one flying overhead. Muriel is perched in the back of this wagon as well, and she's going to fire off a crossbolt as well. Well, no need to roll damage. She is going to, without any hesitation, nat 20 for what it's worth, she's going to pull back her short bow. And you get the feeling that because she is an airborne entity, more often than not, movement does not phase her aim. She catches one and just decimates a dead center mass. So your first two interactions as you're leaving this vineyard are going well so far. I believe that should bring us up to Rasmus. You're driving the wagon. Are you pulling any attention off to fire off a shot, or are you...
I don't feel like that's in my best interest or anyone, in the thing's best interest. So if there's anything I can do to, like...
But you're not holding the reins, right? Yeah, it's what's the dude up there with you that's holding the reins?
I assume that
Berwin for now.
I thought we had, like, a horse apiece. Does he have both of them? He's got control of everything?
I mean, if you were coming out of it, I thought the way you were talking about is that you did have a horse apiece. Where one of you had a reins, one of you set a reins, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, I always thought those were like one ahead of the other, and it was just one controller.
I think you can do it that way, but my thought here was that if we're both working like double time, then we can keep this thing
focused on one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair.
So is there anything I can do to like improve our chances? You know, maybe move us forward a little faster without tipping the wagon or whatever.
This is where I was actually looking at what the mechanical, like, what's a vehicle check in this? That's why I've been scrubbing through my skills to see.
I mean, the only thing that I've got that I thought would work for it immediately was, like, animal handling.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that it notes specifically is keep a mount from getting spooked.
Yep.
So, ooh,
yeah. Hit me with it.
Do that.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
And I've got a plus four to that, so that's not bad. It's a wisdom-based skill. These big ones aren't doing me any good tonight. Get one of these normal size ones. That's not good either. Seven total.
Seven? Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
The two arrows or bolts coming from the back of the wagon, you could tell initially don't phase this horse. It's been around action, it's been around activity, so that doesn't phase it. What does start to phase it is as you guys get into kind of the meat of the vineyard. More needle blights, as well as, and I don't think I've shown you a token for this yet. Let me see if I can pull it up. Not that mechanically it's going to mean a lot right now.
Super needle.
Let's see if I can zoom in a bit. So that'll help a little bit. Not quite to size, but just give you a view of it. Man. You're starting to see some vine blights come out as well.
Swamp thing.
Gross.
Yeah, it looks like it anyway.
Oh.
Yeah, disgusting.
Disgusting. And one of the things it can do is it can make your terrain difficult.
That's not good.
I would say it can make bumpy roads, but throwing out vines.
Oh, boy.
Good. Yeah. So one of those comes up out of the ground and causes, just for illustration, entangling plants is the name of the attack. But what it does... And Rasmus, you kind of see it as you start approaching it. You see this darkened entity come up and just kind of put its hands into the ground, or what you would consider its hands into the ground, and you see gnarled roots start to come up in your path, impeding you.
Turn.
I mean, you can certainly try to turn, but you're going down in between lanes of the vineyard at that point.
I was going to say, I think the die is already cast here. I don't think I'm in a position to do anything else.
Yeah. I will go ahead with Erwin and do the same thing in terms of an animal handling.
Three.
No. Your side is struggling a little bit more than his right now, Rasmus. But he has some form of like experience potentially with this horse. It's been a decade, but... horses can live a fairly long life where he's able to just snap the reins and kind of get it's still going. So your horse is stumbling and faltering a little bit, but by sheer will of the one on the left, you're only slightly impeded.
Nice.
So good thing that other one, guy has the leader horse that'll build the confidence.
Well, Erwin's also
he's
used to
right.
I mean, he does a lot more of this kind of thing than I do. I've lived in a major. It's like a guy from New York suddenly having to half drive a car.
City
Slickers. I've lived in a major city my entire life. Yeah,
I was gonna do the City Slickers reference. I didn't think we're going car. I thought we were going curly with a horse.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's going to do that, which means Zephra, you're up because the others will be last.
Okay. Well, if I'm doing an attack, I'd like to try and cast Ray of Frost on this new creature that's messing up our terrain.
Okay.
Fuck with our dirt.
Hit him with Ray of Frost, or hit it, I guess.
It's a 9.
Boy.
My rolls.
We'll be better. We'll get better.
Yeah, you cast that Ray of Frost, and as it's kind of absorbing into the ground, you can tell it's making itself low, almost as if trying to blend in or kind of merge with the dirt to make sure you don't impact it.
Okay.
And in fact, it is left as it is. So that is going to bring us to a couple of things coming this way. It's throwing out there mechanically. I'd probably throw you about here. Is where those two are.
Down. We're going up, right? Like through these things.
Correct. Yeah. You're going north. So I would surmise, just based upon where everything is on the map, you guys are about here.
Alright.
Yeah. And yeah, your goal is to go that way, correct. So needle blights are gonna throw again, they're gonna kinda stretch out their hands, think kinda like the we're gonna go full on 90s references. The missiles at the end of one of the Megazords, the Falcon Megazord, is it just kinda shoots out needles going that way.
Duck.
All right. Let me do this. My kingdom for a D4. Yep. That's going to be Irina. It's going to get popped by one of them. Only one of them is going to make contact, but Irina in the back is the one who's going to catch it.
Great.
Is it fair to hope that we surprise them when we burst it out of the house and they're on disadvantage?
I mean, it is a little because, again, the sound of you coming out and you've got, mechanically, you would have started at the bottom of the map and moved your way up, so.
Yeah, and I would hope, like, as this is happening, we're doing, like, war cries, like Jim Carrey on the Cable Guy, where it's like, just scaring everything within, like, a 3-4 acre radius.
It's just going to attract them.
Oh, we've attracted all forms of wildlife at this point, including the swamp thing up there.
I like this dude thinks that if we just start screaming, we can scare things in a 4-acre radius.
Yep.
Tell me you don't know how big an acre is without telling me you don't know how big an acre is.
Oh, man, that's funny as hell. Yeah, so you have... one of them, again, being to 60 feet, and they're staying, or they're moving toward the edges of the road, so they have the ability to just shoot out. One of them has not timed it correctly, so it goes beyond the reach of the back of the wagon, but the one further up front is able to time it and catches Irina for some damage. She is not bloodied anything yet, but you notice you hear that yelp and kind of that sharp of pain. Because she's been caught with a couple needles.
Damn it.
So that takes us back up to the top. Going to put us right about where we were here. That's going to put us to Bjorn.
All right, I'm firing off at that... wait, hold on. The swamp thing, is it incapacitated at the moment from the... Nope. All right, I'm firing it in.
It specifically, again, to kind of describe, it has kind of buried its hands into the ground to impede that path. So you've passed it... But you would presume you don't see it yet, but there are others involved in this somewhere. But all you're seeing right now on either side of you is going to be more of the needle blights.
More of the needle blights? Yeah. All right, I'm just going to put down fire on the whatever one's in front of us. Hold on, let me check something here. Nothing on our path here. There's no, like, fuel refineries or any...
No, I can't say there are any fuel refineries.
We're in a decimated vineyard.
See if anything's flammable around.
Oh, there's plenty of stuff that's flammable.
Well, I mean, it's boomable. Let's put it that way. Oh, at this point, if this place goes up, that's just par for the course. But I am going to, fire on one of the blights. 15.
All right, roll me damage.
11.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's done. You again, same way you did the last time. If you're passing by and you kind of aim down, you hit it to where it just hits it right in the chest and nails it to the ground.
Yep, I look back at Rasmus's head again. I do another nod. I figure I just got to keep that going. He'll know later.
I'm glad you keep informing Rasmus as to this silent information of that happening.
Yes. He's going to start having itchy back of the head because you keep staring a hole through.
That's the point.
Muriel's going to do the same thing. Wow. Okay. She's going to, again, have the same effect. Just no hesitation, draws back bowstring, cast, and off it goes. So, yeah, you have wiped... those two with ease.
Did you give me lice? Back of my head's itching.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
More likely fleas.
I'm just counting them off.
Damn, count the fleas. You saying that, I had to scratch the back of my head. Some bitch. happened. It got to me. Okay, so Rasmus, you're still driving the cart. Yeah. Go ahead and give me another animal handling check.
Animal handling. Tomorrow, good. Throw that other dice out.
I'm impressed.
Use that metal die I gave you.
Well, I used a metal one, but it's not the one you gave me. But that is a nat 20.
Yeah. Oh, never use the one I gave you.
I mean, it's a skill check, so the total is a. Total.
That means that this horse just became super confident. It just became.
It's horse time.
It's like that horse with the Culkin when he's riding the back of it.
He's just surfing on it.
He is.
Well, the good news is you did that.
I just have a vision of Rasmus surfing on
the
that
horse.
The bad
news
now.
Is Irwin's is out of control now.
Yeah, Irwin did much less than that. He did.
That's okay.
He did quite the opposite
each other
of
going.
That. So, shit. So it counterbalances almost more so to where
that's all right.
You feel the wagon pulling to the right. It's almost as if everything happening. Irwin
these horses
lost it for a second, whether it be emotionally, kind of, it's all starting to set in. He's starting to see the edge of the property, whatever it is. His loses it. You pull to the right, but you have enough to kind of set it back on course and steady things enough. So you're, again, slightly impeded. So it's going to take you another turn to get out of here. But you're not stopped at this shot.
Imagine the situation we've been in if you didn't roll a nat 20.
Right? That's what I'm thinking. Because I rolled a 25. I don't know what his bonus is, but it's probably not great.
I'd be Airborne Bjorn.
Air Bjorn.
I'd be the Air Bjorn.
New game coming to the TurboGrafx-16. Okay, so that brings up Zephra.
I'm feeling a little less confident with my spells, so I'm going to use my crossbow this time, too.
Okay.
I got a 21 this time.
That'll hit. Give me a damage roll.
I got to remember what my damage on that is. 1d8 plus 1. Seven.
Yeah.
Plus 1 is 8, so yeah. Yay, math.
You're feeling a bit better about yours. You steady, you fire, and it just throws it into the vines. So so far have had great success impeding these needle blights.
Fuck yeah.
But it does mean that as you have been slowed again, you're going to be about here. Mm. And it's going to be a turn for another two of them. So let's do that.
Wait, where are we?
Weird.
I'd say probably a little bit further of your arrow.
The shadow that looks like a hand almost.
Okay, these two are about to shoot at us.
No, you're further north. I don't have them on the map, but just have two more
new
that are coming.
Ones. Two new ones.
Oh,
essentially, think at this point, Bjorn, you did the nature check, so I'll give you a little bit of allusion to it. There's some pheromone or like plant-based communication. Once the clarion call's been made, audibly or otherwise, the encampment knows that things are going down, so they're enclosing on the center path.
Yeah, I swear.
Yeah, the sentry paths that you saw last time coming in have been abandoned. Everything is basically attack center. So let's do another one of these. Son of a bitch. It's going to catch Irina again.
God damn it.
Fuck.
This one for far less, though.
I can patch her up.
Needs to, like, duck down.
Is she the one that died earlier?
No, that's Irwin's wife.
Yeah, that's
Irina's the one we've been
protecting from the word go.
We've been dragging around.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll patch her up when we get through here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is gonna cuss us out.
She'll survive.
I'll give for those of you not driving the wagon, give me a perception check.
Fucking hell, this ain't good. Perception?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A check.
Yeah, just a quick perception check.
Please be a better roll. 21.
Okay.
Oh, wait, hold on. I got Is it relying on hearing or smell?
No.
Heightened senses? Oh, shit.
Yeah. No, this would be more sight.
I got... Wait, what's my advantage for here? To recall information? No, that's the wrong one. Checks that rely on hearing and smell. God damn it.
Motherfucker, just roll me a goddamn perception check.
Wolf eyes should be good. I got you! I just was trying to do better than that.
This isn't calculus, goddamn. Yeah,
it is whenever I'm up against a two.
You are distracted by the battle at hand.
Yeah, I bet I am.
The mission hand. Zephra, you notice after that second hit to Irina, the sky gets rapidly and ominously dark.
I'm gonna mention, hey, anyone else noticing this is getting real dark?
It was already dark.
Right.
It's darker.
Bjorn kind of feels the same way. That's nighttime.
This is some kind of advanced dark.
Rasmus, if you were to notice, this is more like, if you look driving the wagon, this is more than just the setting of the day.
Okay.
It's time to kill
them. Am I capable of making some sort of check at this point or no?
Not yet.
Do a history check on the darkness.
Yeah, on the history of the sun setting in Barovia. You know, that thing you still haven't seen since you've fucking been here.
Yeah.
I'm thinking all right. More that like a storm is brewing if it's getting ominously dark.
All right, back,
don't care
back
for that at all.
Back to the top, Bjorn and Muriel, one more time.
I'm about to kill another one of these stupid things. This gets in my way. Hold on. Let me hit it.
I'll tell you right now, Muriel sure isn't.
Well, I'm figuring she's already used up all of her 20s. All right, I'm going to do a nat 20 for both of us.
Fuck.
13.
I mean, a 13's good enough for a hit.
Yeah. All right, here it comes. 8.
Okay. So you both draw up from that half cover at the same time. You, with your crossbow, you're able to hit one and pin it against that tree, which seems that's fairly great. Fitting that you're putting a needle blight back into a wooden place where it belongs.
Yes.
Muriel, whether it be because of the shifting skies reunion. Or the shifting of the... Something has caused her to draw a miss, and she sends it out, and it more just... It's a lame duck. It flies out and over into the vineyard. It doesn't hit anything that she
got too
aiming.
Dark. The darkness.
That's what happened. The nighttime, you know.
Well, you hear a bitter from her. Fuck. As she starts loading up an arrow again.
I look at her, I'm like, 3 for 3.
All right, Rasmus.
You're too proud of himself.
You and Erwin, one more time. Give me an animal handling.
Well, that was almost a 14. It's still an 11.
Okay. It seems like the NPCs are min-maxing tonight. He has a firm control. So even as you come up, you would see another vine blight kind of approaching where you're at. And again, coming out toward the edge of that vineyard row and starting to stick its hands into the ground again. Erwin's seen this trick once already. And he kind of helps grab and assist with your reins. And he gives a quick shift. And the whole wagon kind of skips a little bit to move along to the side. As it's like he's changing directions too quickly, and it's not like there's a turn radius on a wagon. But he's almost able to like skid the wheels just enough to avoid being impeded by that, and you're able to find a clear path to keep going.
Hell yeah.
So that gives us back to Zephyr one more time.
Damn it, we're going with the crossbow creatures. Again.
Okay.
Kill the swamp creature.
15 this time.
That'll hit.
Wait, which one are you shooting at?
And 4 damage this time.
Okay. So you don't pin one very deep in as much, like you're not able to knock one out, but you do hit it. Mechanically, what I'll say is that's going to give disadvantage to it. But because of that... Because it didn't fall, you will have an extra needle blight on this roll.
Okay.
Out of curiosity, is this like Diablo where we're just like fighting like mobs?
Essentially. Yeah,
because I'm counting on the screen, but I'm assuming this is not accurate to like what's going
on. No, admittedly, I'm not throwing as many on there just because it would be more time. Yeah, it's just throw mayhem. As many tokens. Yeah,
that's all right. All good. We'll just keep taking out as many as we can.
All right, so.
Except we got another big boy.
Of the three. Okay, both of those are going at Bjorn. So you draw fire for two Needle Blights. So let me give you two rolls here. That's going to be 12 damage.
Stretch. All right, 1 second.
So you, man, in a moment where you're feeling confident about telling Muriel you're 3 for 3 because of the lack of put down between Muriel and Zephra, a couple more as you're approaching into this property, it's almost kind of like it's bottlenecking. They're able to encroach toward that gate, and there's more of a line of sight for one of them to shoot at you, and two of them are going to catch you.
That's all right. Better me than them. I take it in stride.
Okay. So as you approach this gate, Rasmus, one more time, I'm going to need you and Erwin to give me an animal handling. Shit. And it's only because...
This is when everything falls apart.
The two of you, Rasmus, you and Erwin, you and Erwin see a collection of Needle Blights almost trying to form a gate.
Both these horses are going to run into the gate and knock themselves out.
I mean... Not bad. 21 total. That's a 16. That'd I got a plus it. 5. Or no, I'm sorry. It's plus 4. So I have
so 20.
Yeah, it's plus 4. So I have 20.
Yep, that's fine. Erwin rolls very similar. Erwin is, and Rasmus, you say what you will. Erwin's going to yell at everybody, heads down!
I think I'm just going to let him get it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to let him cover that and then just like probably inadvertently, just like when you're on a roller coaster, like you don't mean to yell, but it just sort of happens. Just, ah!
Okay.
Yeah. And in the back, I grab everybody and I just pull us all to the ground, to the base.
Yeah. And with some kind of synchronicity, Erwin and Rasmus, you two crack those reins at the same time. And you just break through and you see Needle Blights kind of splinter as they fly off. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So you have escaped the Wizard of Wines as you come out because you had a full head of steam having to break through a barrier that was being developed. You, Erwin, quickly, you know, tries to get things to slow down because he sees behind him that things are okay for the moment. The wagon is still there with both horses that you guys nice. Came in on.
I feel like that could have been one of those like medieval time versions of like the motorcycle doing the death wiggle, like where it gets going left, right, left, right, and then we just lose the whole thing.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It certainly could have. You're right. So Erwin kind of quickly starts pulling back to get you guys to stop, and it's yeah, quick directions. Same. Yeah, he's assertive directions. I'm going to grab that. Someone stay here. We're going to need that.
What's
Muriel,
that?
Muriel. The other wagon.
Oh, cool, cool, cool.
Yeah. The one we showed up in.
Adrian, you guys look up and Adrian kind of comes down in he shifts into a hybrid form. So he's able to speak. And he looks at you all. He has a dagger in hand and just looks. We're storming the gates of hell, for lack of a better phrase. Yesterhill is vast. I know not what we find, but I fear what we're going to. We've made it thus far. Let's go. And right. He goes off to lead.
So he's not going to ride in one of the wagons. He's going to continue to fly.
No, he's going to continue to fly, although he is going to be currently low enough for you all to kind of keep an eye on him following through.
Okay, yeah. before we take off, if we have a second of just like a moment's little respite here, I hate to ask for numbers, but it's the only thing that makes sense here. Bjorn, you got hit for 12, well, right?
Yeah.
Can you tell me how many Irina got hit for?
I can tell you Irina got hit for a total of 10.
Okay. That is almost perfect. Did anyone else get hurt anywhere along the way? Has anyone else been hurt previously prior to this?
Nope. Not I.
Oh, well then shit, it almost makes more sense for me to do.
Because you guys did that long rest before you made your way to the vineyard.
Yeah, I'll just do this because it's quick and dirty. It covers it. I'm going to use my, I think it's one of my uses. I think I have two. No, I just have the one. I'm going to use my channel divinity.
Okay.
And restore, it'll be all of those hit points. Okay. I have up to 25 to spend, any number of creatures within 30 feet. So whoever, you know, I split them however you need, but Bjorn's back to the top, Irina is too.
Okay. That's going to put Irina back up to top. She, in that brief moment, as you know, you guys slow down and there's the transition into the wagons and kind of separate briefly. They're not large. I'm trying to think. Honestly, I'd probably equate them to the size of a pen. So it's not like these honking things in terms of like diameter. The needles. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And she's kind of pulling a few out of her shoulder, or maybe one out of her back.
Yeah, I was gonna say as we're like moving stuff around. I mean, I can kind of flavor some of that as like helping them remove those needles and like calling upon, you know, Mater to heal their wounds and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
I'm also thinking we need to figure out how we want to divide up this group. I don't think it's the worst idea to put her in the covered wagon.
Agree.
Yep.
And then three of us can stay in the open one.
Yeah.
Shouldn't there be somebody in the other one that can just like throw down some fire as they're going along?
No, the idea is that both Irina and Irwin can fight if pushed to it, but also if shit gets really bad, they can just peel off.
That's a fair point. Yeah, that's true. Okay.
While technically true, and kind of as you state that, Irina will look at you, Rasmus, kind of give a silent nod and go to the other wagon. Okay. And Irwin looks at you to say, do you feel confident leading this one? As in the wagon, not the charge up to the, like, do you feel confident taking care of this one?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I got it. I'm going to roll for deception.
Okay.
If that's okay with you.
Absolutely is.
I don't know that he is actually that confident. I think he could totally do it, but I think he wants, deception maybe is not the right word. Maybe it should be persuasion. Cause it's like, he's almost trying to convince himself.
Yeah, if it helps, it's going to be contested.
Yeah, so, I mean, is it perception then?
Yeah.
So 23.
Okay. Or no, yours would be persuasion. I think his would be perception. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, so persuasion. So 5 instead. So 21.
Okay.
Yeah. 5 instead of 7.
You're putting on the greatest poker face ever, and you can tell on the other side that it's... How you're feeling internally is how Irwin is expressing it externally.
Externally.
his family is wrought with this, like literally two people are in who knows what situation at Yesterhill. His family's lineage and heritage is being decimated and overrun. Like, it was a brave face getting out of there, but it's almost the opposite effect where you showing that confidence steals him a little bit. He's Carl Weathers after the handshake.
Well, I was gonna say the cinematic like concept I have going in my head is just Indy. It's Indiana Jones and Raiders laying out the whole plan of what they're gonna do as they're getting ready to leave Cairo, and then Sala going, "What are we gonna do?" And him going, "I don't know. I'm making this up as I go along." Like, it's that level of confidence. He doesn't know if he's got it, but he's damn sure gonna give it his best shot. So.
No. Your confidence is going to get somebody through because Irwin's going to saddle up that covered wagon with Irina in the back. And he's going to ask you, follow the raven in the sky.
That's something I can do.
Yeah. There you go. So you all take off Yesterhill. this motherfucker. This guy. Looks like he's a DM or something. Some of a bitch. Well,
I was trying to match you. I just assumed that's what was going to happen.
just by a couple beats, you all start taking off. Muriel kind of flies up and sits beside you, Rasmus. She kind of transforms in the seat next to you.
Okay.
And she's going to sit and kind of give you. Yesterhill is not terribly far. With our transportation here, we're going to make it in a timely manner, though. The feeling I get from Adrian is that we should not tarry. We should not dawdle. And she kind of looks at you to pause a beat. Davian was right. Yesterhill is a mountain. And if what Adrian encountered is true, she kind of tapers off. You all are Erasmus with the successes overall you had navigating the wagon. I'm not going to have you roll anymore. You're following Adrian. It is a hurried pace. Like, these are two draft horses, so it's not like these things are running the Kentucky Derby, but they can pick up the pace when necessary.
Yeah.
And Irwin's the same way. If you were to kind of glance back, or if someone were to glance back, you see Irwin is keeping with his two horses pace for pace. It doesn't take you terribly long. It only takes you about maybe even an hour to get there. It's not terribly far, but even as you start approaching, you start seeing this elevation rise and rise to a point. Again, not just because it's dark, because it is nighttime now, but also because the clouds, the entire sky has been just enveloped with black clouds. You all approach. I would like to point out for visual sake, this is not the only map we will use, but if you'll note, the bottom of this map says one square is 50 feet.
Eesh.
Okay.
As you get closer, you realize Yesterhill is only a name.
That's because yesterday it was a hill, and now it's much bigger.
Fuck. So from the map, if you see where the beacon I'm laying down is, you're coming from the northeast, that entrance coming up. As you were to start approaching this hill, you see a couple of, toward the peak, you're far enough down where you can't see any details, but you see two elevated points even above the hill, kind of darkened and shadowed, and you see a lightning bolt come down and strike one of those tall points, those figures or things you see atop the mountain. And that's where we cut it off.
Okay.
Yes.
You beat me by just a couple minutes. Just want to get a little more detail in there.
Just as I finish my drink.
There you go. Perfect timing. So this concludes another episode and the beginning of yet another 1 week hiatus of PZ85 Plays the Curse of Strahd, the Podzilla and ICA5 network. Yes. Thank you for listening in. Again, no show next week. Yours truly will be at that point in Omaha. I'm going to go see what the zoo is in Omaha. It's like one of the top five in the country. And plus friends. Nice. Because friends That's are awesome. Nice. Yeah,
We do have some cool stuff coming up, though.
So there you go. I was going to say, if anything like the schedule we had last week, there's a lot of engaging and entertaining stuff coming on the rest of the network. So, Huntu.
All right, guys, I'm here. Sorry, I'm a little bit late.
Oh my god,
are you?
The timing was so good.
All right, I'm getting
because I was just about. I was just about to say that tomorrow, Shannon, we have an all new installment of Extras and Epilogues. It's our third episode.
Yeah.
It's been going really well. It's been a lot of fun. Tomorrow, we are going back to our 1999 list, and we are covering the romantic comedy 10 Things I Hate About You with, guess who?
Kaz. Hey.
She's here.
Yeah. Yeah.
What? Special Lindsay. Guest star.
Is it Frank Stallone?
It's going to be there. You guessed
it. I did enjoy the first two episodes you guys did. I've listened to them. So.
Thank you. It's a part of our whole new campaign for Extras and Epilogues. It's called Dalton Loves It.
So that is tomorrow. We're going to talk about that tomorrow night. On Thursday, Shannon, I assume we have a new PZ85 After Dark.
That's what I would assume.
Lindsay, what are we doing there?
She doesn't know.
I don't know.
She doesn't know. Nobody
I'll
knows.
I'll figure it out on Thursday because I'm
no
off.
No soon.
Anybody? Did anybody die?
No, we met. Well, some needle
points. Aiden did.
Well, yeah, he's been dead.
We don't know that.
I believe it. I sensed it in the forest.
Don't talk, Kaz! Don't talk. The thing on the mouth
Don't come
move.
Over here! Hey, on
How
Friday...
How do you like us now?
Is it horse time?
It. Yeah.
Is it horse time on Friday?
It sure feels like horse time.
All right.
And then,
horse time on Friday.
And then if you're in the area this weekend, of course, Cape Championship Wrestling this Saturday, I'm in a six-man tag match. Me and Osby Tomlin versus Trent Daniels, Jeff King and Justin the Juice Smart. I know you're saying, Shannon, you said it was a six-man tag. There's only two of you because we don't need a third man. Or there'll be a surprise third man. I don't know.
Who's the third man?
I don't know.
And then we're back at it next week. But again, as Cody mentioned, we no new plays next week. We'll pick back up a week from that day.
That's because next Tuesday you can look forward to an all new episode of I Wanna Believe.
Oh,
hey.
Ooh. Yeah.
Fantastic.
And subtitle for that is Filling in the Gap.
Well, we haven't done one in a while. That'll be fun. That's something we haven't done in some time.
That's true.
We have things to discuss.
Yeah.
Is it meant to be that way?
Well, he was waiting on Tanner, but Tanner never showed up. So.
Tanner didn't pop in. Lindsay, your hair looks, by kind, it's humid, is what your hair looks like.
I mean, it's still wet from my shower this morning because it's been wrapped up all day.
Well, let's wrap up this episode of PZ85 Plays.
Let's do it. Cody.
Let's do just that. Yeah, let's send it out. For Bjorn the Blood Hunter on the left coast, for Rasmus Thomas and Double H up north. Well, you know, and for Zephra, our resident air genasi, it wasn't good for Irina this episode, and it may not be good for anybody else in 2 weeks, but we'll climb that hill and talk to God when we come to it. This has been PZ85 Plays The Curse of Strahd on the Podzilla 1985 Network. I am your Game Master, Cody Sandusky, saying... stay safe, keep the lights on, watch out for lightning bolts, kids.
It's turbo time!